Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante with my buddy Greg Pickle. It's been a couple weeks. How are you doing with the lockdown so far, Mr. Greg?
Jim, we're holding up well here, and I hope it's the same for you, your family, and of course all of our listeners out there. It's good to have some normalcy in the sense that we're talking Penn State football and getting on the radio here and podcasts and everything else everywhere else you can find us, even though times are certainly anything but normal right now.
Yeah, it's turning into a new normal over here, you know, staying in, not traveling to the studio for recording. So it's a little bit different. I hope it's been going smooth for our listeners. I know I've heard from several of them who've said, thank goodness you're still on. It gives us something to look forward to. Before we get started, though, I do want to talk about one little outside item, speaking of being the lockdown and everything that's going on. I don't know if you've heard about this, Greg. It's called athletesrelief.org. It's a project where many professional athletes are offering up some of their memorabilia for a good cause for the Center for Disaster Philanthropy, which has provided COVID-19 grants for folks like Feeding America and Meals on Wheels. And what you do is go to athletesrelief.org, and they have a list of all these different items. And if you contribute, you pick which one you contribute to, and you're entered to win that piece of memorabilia. Just a couple cool items that I saw made note of. Actually, a signed jersey by Steph Curry. Here was another one from Nick Faldo, a signed Masters flag, and a tour-used putter. Isn't that pretty cool?
That is really cool, Jim.
Yeah. The last one I took note of, Jay Billis, a signed Duke National Championship Letterman's jacket. I think it was from 1991. Whether you're a Duke lover or a Duke hater, I'm sure you can find a use for it. All right. Let's move on to our show. In quarter number one, of course, we're going to start with the news. And I know Tuesday morning you attended press conference with Brent Pry. Maybe you could update us on what Brent had to say.
Yeah, Jim, it was good to hear Brent's voice and get some interaction with him, even though spring practice isn't going on. He talked about a lot of things. He had about a half hour of question and answer time with the media Tuesday morning, and I think we learned quite a bit. You know, we'll start with Micah Parsons. That's where we typically start whenever we talk about Penn State's defense and what Brent Pry has to say. You know, he's very excited, of course, about the returning All-American junior out of Harrisburg, and I think the one thing that really kind of jumped out to me is he said it was brought up quite a bit in their offseason self-scout, Jim, about how they can use Micah more and get him in the best position to be successful. And that's going to extend beyond just using him as a coverage linebacker. They want to get him involved on the edge more. Now, we know that he rushed a passer more last year from his linebacker spot than he did 2 years ago, but I think they want to refine that part of his game and really make him an impact player as a pass rusher. I also won't be shocked if they try and get him some snaps on offense or move him into the return game. When you have a freakish athlete like that, a super rare talent that only comes around once in a while, you have to find a way to get him as involved as you can, much like we saw with Saquon Barkley with playing running back and working at returner, of course. So I'll be interested to see if they go that way with Mike and try and get him some added responsibilities as well. Clearly, he's shown that he's willing to adapt and capable of playing a position that he never played before in terms of the move from defensive end to linebacker. And they're excited about what's next for him. And he's obviously going to be a leader of this defense as well.
I tell you what, after watching that performance in the Cotton Bowl where he was just doing everything, he was a playmaker. He made things happen. I think that's the Micah Parsons we all want to see from start of the season going through. So that'll be interesting, and it's interesting to hear that they're looking at things the same way. What else did we find out?
Yeah, quite a bit, Jim. So let's dive into some more of what he talked about. One of the things he was asked to address a number of times was why the pass defense struggled so much in 2019 and how it can be improved. The Lions obviously lose John Reed. They lose Garrett Taylor. They bring back Lamont Wade, Tariq Castro-Fields, and some very talented youngsters such as Keaton Ellis and Joey Porter Jr. And there's one name I'm forgetting, but it'll come to me as I talk here. So Marquise Wilson's the other one. So I think that the takeaway from that part of the conversation was just that they had to sit down and figure out what was the issue. I think it's easy for us to look at it on the outside and say, well, the coverage was getting there late, or, well, the pass rush wasn't getting to the quarterback and that left the corners and safeties in coverage for too long and that was the problem. Or, you know, maybe Brent was too aggressive on the blitz. But one thing he brought up that was interesting was that they spent a lot of time between 2018 and 2019 focusing on how to improve the run defense. And now they have to stop and question, did they overcommit to that idea and did that cause harm in the pass game? So they have a lot to figure out. They didn't really give the answer in terms of what they found, which of course he wasn't going to from a competitive standpoint, but rest assured that they were looking at everything from even the minute details of, okay, this formation from the offense against this formation from the defense, why did it fail? And obviously, now that we're all working remotely, working from home, and can't be out and about and doing things, there's a lot more time to study that kind of stuff. So I would expect they're going to have some answers there, whether it's personnel changes, whether it's formation changes. They'll figure best way to shore up a pass defense that was really leaky and really susceptible. One of the things that he had mentioned, Jim, was they have to figure out why the explosive passes came in such bulk against some teams that didn't really feature that ability against any other school. So I'm interested to see how that works moving forward. Ultimately, though, you know, I think the secondary probably received a little bit more blame than it should have, because while Penn State's pass rush was lauded as being one of the best in the country, and while the numbers look good, there was too often where they just didn't show up in the big moments and didn't get to opposing passers, and that let the other team pick apart Penn State's secondary, which is what's going to happen when you give these guys too much time to throw. They're scholarship athletes too. They're playing with scholarship players, so we'll see. But I thought that was pretty interesting. Just often that came up during the call, and the fact that he really got into some of the breakdown of what went wrong. And I think Kirk Straka is going to be a big part of that too, because Minnesota obviously had explosive and non-explosive pass plays against Penn State that went for big yards, big amount of points. And so I think Kirk's insight into how they attacked Penn State when he was at Minnesota is going to be extremely helpful as well for Penn State figuring out how it can prevent something like that from happening in the future.
That is a conversation I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to listen to. Kurt Schrocka explaining, this is how we attacked your defense and here's why. Off the air, you mentioned to me also that he talked a little bit about the position change of Trent Gordon from cornerback to safety.
Yeah, so he talked about that a little bit too. And basically, what it comes down to is it takes time to figure out. Some guys, it's very easy to figure out that you need to move their position. Case in point, Micah Parsons. He was a defensive end in high school, but they realized from basically the start that they wanted him to play linebacker at the college level. With Trent Gordon, he was a corner in high school, and I think that when they start breaking down, you know, the way he put it was, we want to minimize a guy's liabilities and maximize his strength. And it's not to say that Trent Gordon was completely liable as a corner, but when they started to break down his game and started to look at the checklist of things that a guy needs to excel at to earn starting reserve level reps as a corner, they found that he checked more boxes as a safety and not as a corner. So it made logical sense to move him over there, especially because numbers at that position probably aren't the worst thing in the world at this point in time. They're well set at corner. They could use some help in competition at safety. So I think with Gordon, they just looked at their checklist of things they look for in guys, whether they're a corner or whether they're a safety, and they just decided that his strengths better matched with the safety checklist than the corner one. So not a surprise move, I guess. He's a kid that, you know, when you watch him, there were definitely some safety tendencies in his game anyway. So this was probably a natural progression that was already going to happen. Then you put in the fact that the numbers at safety and everything else, and it makes even more sense. So to me, I just think that for Penn State, they looked at it and broke it down and said, okay, we want to move somebody over. Who's the guy with the most safety traits that isn't playing safety? And Trent Gordon checked all those boxes.
And this isn't the first time they've made that kind of position change over the James Franklin era, correct?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, they've made plenty of moves. You know, Levant Wade was a guy who many thought would be a corner in college. He, of course, is playing safety now. You know, they have been willing, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and especially between corner and safety, to move guys over to that safety spot. Not so much the other direction, safety to corner, but they've been willing to make that transition. And we've also seen them, of course, be willing to move bigger linebackers. Nick Tarburton comes to mind, to the defensive line, and move bigger defensive ends. You know, Ryan Buchholz was a guy who started as a defensive end and started to see some more work as a defensive tackle. So this is not something that they avoid doing. This is not something they are afraid to do. And I think that that ultimately, Jim, you have to evaluate every offseason, whether it's an offseason where you can have spring practice or not, what guys in your program could be doing something else if they were just at a different position, and how would that impact your program? So it's a constant for schools across the country. Penn State is no different. And like I said, they've been willing to maybe admit that their first instinct on a guy was not correct and then adjust it to try and get him in a better spot moving forward.
Okay. There was one more item I wanted to get to and get your opinion on, Greg, although Dustin and I talked about this on the show earlier this week, but it's getting a lot of play, and that was Kirk Herbstreit's comment that he felt that they would not be playing a 2020 college football season. I was curious. I wanted to hear your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately the problem is nobody knows how this is all going to play out and how long it's going to take to play out. You know, will the advice from health officials and the CDC and the World Health Organization, no, will they say, look, we don't think it's safe people to be around each other in June or July, in August, you know, the fall? I believe there was a White House coronavirus task force briefing where the main doctor, whose name escapes me at this second in time, but he was, yes, him. Yep. He was saying that, you know, he was asked if a fall reoccurrence of this is possible, and he seemed to indicate that it was, which seems to be pretty bad news for large gatherings of football teams. So there's a lot of contingencies that has to be, like, contingency plans that have to be put into place. Right now, obviously, I think it's all of our hope that, you know, everyone can stay healthy and safe and stay home and try and kill this thing off as best we can and get, you know, sports back to normal and society back to normal and everything else. But I think the point Herbstreit makes is a fair one. You know, the longer large gatherings aren't allowed, the longer social distancing is needed to be practiced, the less likely it is that these guys are going to have enough time to get in shape to play a normal season as we've come to expect. So I think that, Jim, is going to be the real problem here, is how much time do these guys need to get ready? And no one, including Brent Pry and James Franklin, seems to have that answer right now. They're investigating it with sports science people, nutrition people, and the strength staff, Jim, but right now they're still working through to get those answers.
And I'll tell you what, though, I believe they'll do everything they can to get a season in, even if they have to push it back to the spring, which was something else I've heard. All right, that's it for quarter number one. Stick around for quarter number two.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.